Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Ed and Wesley, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
So somebody tell me when the first college football game is. Wesley, can you look that up?
For this year?
Yeah, for this year.
I thought you were saying, like, all time in history.
Yeah, no. Well, you can do that later.
Okay.
But for now, do the college football season. When does that start? Because...
Looking forward to some disappointment there, or is it
you
beat yourself up?
Saturday, August 23rd.
August 23rd. Who comes on TV, Ed?
It will be
too early.
Most Division I programs start their seasons the following week,
but August 30th.
Saturday, August 23rd starts with week zero games. I'm not sure who that is.
I was thinking Kansas State.
There we go.
UC Davis versus Mercer.
Oh, that's huge.
And Southern versus North Carolina Central.
Yeah,
so that's why it's week zero games.
I might not catch those. Tell me the 30th, August 30th. Give me a game or two.
Yeah, that's going to be – well, August the 28th is going to be a Thursday, I believe, and that's going to be Boise State versus South Florida.
I'll watch that.
And then Saturday – What date is August?
August 30th, Saturday, is Mississippi State at Southern Miss. That's of interest to you.
Yes, it is.
Syracuse, Tennessee, Texas, Ohio State.
Hey, that's some good games right there.
Yes, it is. Let's see, on down the line, Alabama, Florida State.
I'm just saying, if you've been depressed about the state of the world.
It's August 28th is the date you're looking at.
College football is almost here. And who doesn't love college football, right? The pageantry and the emotions and, in my case, the losing. Hope springs eternal. I like to watch the college football. What's it, game day?
Yeah.
ESPN, yeah. And this is Lee Corsall. He's going to do one more show, and then he's gone.
And he's
out.
One more show.
I think he's had health issues, Lee Corsall. This guy who puts on the head of the mascot, the team he chooses, you know, that's kind of a tradition. Go ahead, Wes.
So what I was looking at is August 28th through August 30th, there's a handful of big games.
Yeah.
But a lot of teams are holding off until that September 1st.
So. Yeah. Anyway, I just know that a lot of our folks do like college football and looking forward to it. All right, Steve, what do you got for us?
Bucknell is coming to Air Force week one.
Uh-oh, you're an Air Force fan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you lived in Colorado State.
I lived in Colorado Springs. My boss was the boss I used to have is the current play-by-play guy for Air Force. That we were the home station for Air Force.
Okay, Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
So Bucknell's rolling in?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's one of those.
Can't wait.
It's one of those.
There's going to be electricity in the air.
It's,
you know what I'm saying?
It's one of those pay games, you know.
Oh, yeah. Every school has them.
Yeah.
Every school has them. You pay a smaller school.
A bunch of money.
$500,000 to come to your stadium. The coach, Alabama used to play somebody like, I don't know, Murray State, or not Murray State, but some Morehead State or somebody, and they would say, I remember the AD for that smaller school said, we'll go to Tuscaloosa and take our beating.
Yeah.
We know we're going to get
– For $500,000?
We know we're getting killed, but we're going to take away a check and go home.
They get the money.
If you're the AD, if you're the athletic director, you don't – You got to have your money coming from somewhere.
You're paying. Alabama has a practice game.
Yeah. And everybody knows it.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows it. Everybody's happy with it. You know, take your beat down.
That's right.
Then now the head coach doesn't go into the locker room before the game. He goes, all right, fellas, we're here to be a sacrificial lamb. Who's with me?
Yeah.
All right,
that
ahead.
Coach is saying, if you give 110%.
If you give 110%, give us every effort, every play.
Make your tackles.
Yeah, you got
finish your blocks.
Then we'll have a chance. We'll have a shot. Huh? I'll scheme us up some X's and O's and
trick plays.
We'll be in it. We'll beat Alabama on their own field.
A good coach would go into those games saying, here's the three things we're wanting to accomplish.
There you go.
Number one, don't get injured. here's three things we're going
to accomplish. Don't turn over the ball.
Right.
Yeah. Have a strategy.
Right.
And that's coming from a baseball coach right there.
Yeah. I would say that. I've been in a few games like that.
Do under others as you would have them do under you.
I say that, and that's after we get off the field. When you're on the field, you don't do unto others as you want them to do.
Okay.
You're trying to win.
Right. Duly noted. All right. Go ahead, Steve.
All right. We do have some breaking news. Israel has launched over 160 airstrikes on Damascus. And what they are doing is
Syria.
Well, the outskirts of Damascus. IDF has undertaken 160 aerial attacks on the Syrian regime in and around the vicinity of Sweida in southern Syria. What they are doing is they are trying to protect the Druze. The Syrian Druze are being, what the IDF says, they're being slaughtered by the new administration in Syria. So they have launched, they are protecting the Druze in Syria, but this is direct military action against Syria. So it's just a breaking news story. I don't know what to make of it. I heard Marco Rubio say he was very concerned. He sounded like he didn't know it was going to happen. I don't know, but...
Now, the Assad regime was basically overthrown with the help of the Biden administration, correct?
When Iran lost its Syria is an Iranian proxy. The terrorists that were coming out of Syria were being funded by Iran. When Iran lost their credibility, and really it was under Trump. I don't know when Bashar al-Assad left.
It was at the end of 2024.
There you go. So it would have been in the Biden administration, and then they have a new government there that is headed by, and I don't know his name, but he is a former terrorist, former al-Qaeda guy.
Yeah, it's a more radical regime.
Well, yes, but he's saying he wants to join the family of nations. So he's saying all the right things about religious freedom. There was a massacre of Syrians, a Greek Orthodox church, and the big question outgoing was, now that this has happened, a tragedy, is the Syrian government, new Syrian government, going to stand up for religious freedom and prosecute the offenders, find them, and stand up? So apparently the Druze are not on the welcome list in Syria, so it doesn't look good for the government in Syria right now.
Okay.
All right, if you are receiving a Social Security check, you have something we need to tell you. You will no longer be getting a paper check starting in September. You have till September. You need to sign up and have this automatically deposited to your bank account electronically. They will no longer be doing paper checks.
And we wanted this story mentioned today because we wanted our listeners who receive Social Security to be aware of this.
Yeah.
I didn't hear about this until you brought it up in our story meeting.
Well, actually, Tim sent it to you in an email, but I understand why you didn't see that.
Well, I saw it from somebody. The abuse is going to continue, whether it's Fred in here.
Listen, I'm 62.
You notice how always I'm easy on you.
So, I appreciate that. Thank you.
So I'm 62 now, and so when I'm scanning the news, anything that says Social Security, my eyes shoot to it immediately because I want to know,
what's
happening with it, Social Security. So, so they're going totally electronic, no more paper checks for Social Security, and you're right, we did want to tell people.
All federal payments, actually. But yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the federal government is going to save a lot of money by not using the having to pay postage.
Well,
that's the idea, I think.
And they say that paper checks are more than 16 times more likely to be reported stolen.
Yeah.
Physical checks are more likely to be returned.
But how do you do this? Does it say how you do this?
Because
there are a lot of people who are, who are getting Social Security checks now who are going to go, well, how do I switch over? What do I need to do?
Registration can be completed at the government's GoDirect website. I didn't look up the URL, but it's probably GoDirect.gov.
If you get Social Security and you get a physical check in your mailbox, you need to know that that's going to stop, whether you like it or not.
Yes.
It's going to stop in September. So that's just a few weeks away. So you need to, if you don't know how to take care of your own business there, get somebody to help you.
This is going to be a problem. Most of the people who get Social Security are older by definition,
right,
and probably a little less comfortable with the technology. So it is going to be an issue. And the website is godirect.gov, G-O-D-I-R-E-C-T, one word, .gov.
But we do recommend that you get we're not trying to be funny here, folks, okay? I'm an old person now, okay? So get someone younger to help you set this up. So you don't go to the wrong website and give your information,
right? True,
your bank account.
Oh my gosh!
To some,
can you imagine
some scammer?
True, there's probably going to be a lot of fraud associated.
Now,
with
did
this.
You just give them the scammers an idea?
Oh, you think, you think they're waiting on me to get an
they're
idea?
They're not short of ideas. No, I'll tell you that
now. All right,
public service announcement right
there. There you go.
I wanted people to be aware of this. Now, did you take your Social Security? Are you delaying it?
I have not. I'm delaying it.
To when?
I'm still working. Well, you're getting awfully personal, but probably 70. I'm not that far away from it. I
you
turned 67.
You have to start taking it at what age?
70?
I think it's 70.
Yeah. Isn't that right? What about you?
I'm waiting until then, too, because the
you can work and still take it,
bigger.
Right?
Huh?
You can work and still take it, right?
Yes.
Okay, I got you.
Yes.
Yeah,
and hopefully I'd like to work here if I'm healthy till I'm 72.
Seemed like there was Wesley asked the question: can you work and get Social Security?
You can, but you pay taxes past a certain point.
Okay. All right. So go ahead, Steve. Next story. I don't want to get too personal with anything. I got personal with Ed.
He let me know
about it. We may be friends, but you're crossing the line.
But I told you, didn't I? Yeah. I told you. I answered your question.
You did. Go ahead.
All right. The Trump poll numbers are having some problems. I want to play you a quote from
the poll numbers. What now?
The Trump poll numbers.
For President Trump.
President Trump's poll numbers.
Okay.
And this is the lead guy at Rasmussen, and for some reason I didn't write his name down. His name is Mark.
Probably something. Rasmussen.
No, it's not Rasmussen. Something. He's the chief pollster at Rasmussen.
Oh, okay.
Rasmussen. So who is the chief pollster at Rasmussen? And his name is?
Used to be Scott.
Yeah, Scott.
Rasmussen. That was his name.
I can't. Mitchell. Okay. Yes, Mark Mitchell.
Mark Mitchell.
Really?
I just found it.
Yes, Mark Mitchell. Huh. So we're going to hear Mark Mitchell. He's going to talk about, I'm sorry, I wrote the list and I didn't put his name down. He's going to talk about Trump's poll numbers and how they were going up. In fact, he's going to tell you that they were getting ready to go north of President Obama's numbers at the same time. But instead, they are going south of Joe Biden's numbers. Let's listen to Cut 6.
He hit net plus 8 June 15th, which was also, I will admit, the first day that Israel attacked Iran. I think it was June 13th. And it's been downhill since then. So he's lost 12 points now. He's underwater 4 points. Where I was going into July 4th was I said, well, Trump's probably a day or two away from crossing over Obama's numbers. And where are we now? Donald Trump is crossing under Joe Biden's numbers. And so that's a pretty big reversal in less than a week. The big one is Epstein, and people keep downplaying it. But this is not about a guy who died in 2019. This is about a representation of two-tier justice and about unaccountable government. And I don't
know what he doesn't. Unaccountable government. That's what he says is the reason that MAGA the base and his poll ratings are going south.
I would not argue, and then we'll toss it to sure. Wesley here, give Wesley a shot. I would not doubt that that's probably as good an explanation for that turnaround as there is in 1 week to do that. You're about to cross over and become more popular than Barack Obama at this stage of your administration, and then now to be trending towards less popular than Joe Biden. There's only one thing during that week's period that has captured the imagination of the MAGA base and the American people, and it's the Epstein files / list.
The ICE raids are up there too, but that is.
But that's, the ICE raids have been going on for a while.
They have been, and they are not unpopular with his base, with Trump's base.
Anyway, what do you think, Wesley?
Well, I'm trying to understand, as we all are at times, because all I'm reading here, I don't see the audio of it, but Trump said yesterday that Pam Bondi, she's handling it, this is a quote, she's handling it very well, and it's going to be up to her. Whatever she thinks is incredible, she should release it. So it's,
was it incredible or credible? You said credible.
Credible. Whatever's credible. Credible.
Does this have to do with Jeffrey Epstein's story?
Yes, sir.
That's what he's saying? That's what he's talking about?
So as of yesterday afternoon, he's telling her he's
a little, on your own.
Yeah, you're on your own. But it's also a little different than it was three days ago when he said, why are we still talking about this?
Yeah, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
All right. So this is interesting. Because that makes sense, what you shared, Steve, with that gentleman. Mark Mitchell is a very Rasmussen's a very reputable polling firm. So I do pay attention to what they have to say. And he's saying President Trump's numbers took – is that a 10-point reversal?
I think he said 12-point.
Yeah, 12.
12-point reversal. That would explain his dismissal of the Epstein files, so to speak, for lack of a better, whatever they're called,
That's it.
That's the polling. He's probably down with a lot of the MAGA voters.
That's right.
And for at least temporarily, I don't think that'll stay.
It won't stay.
That won't stay. But they were upset about his handling of the,
which might be the indication for why he said
what he did yesterday.
He said yesterday, Pam Bondi should, if there's anything credible, she should release it.
I thought she said there wasn't.
But she did.
She made double check.
Right.
Now.
All right. Wesley, you followed a lot of the podcasters, and you at least pay attention to the quote MAGA world. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the hardcore folks who kind of generate the message represents a lot of Americans. You said the general consensus was that Trump blew it on this one, right? Last week.
Well, no, actually, some of them held out to comment on it, and the ones that did, unfortunately, said a lot of the same Pam Bondi information. They just basically repeated what
Tucker
she said. Tucker Carlson didn't.
Tucker Carlson.
But see, he's one of his own. I'm not so sure.
Charlie Kirk didn't either, did he? Or is
he
supportive?
Did.
He's supportive?
Yeah.
Charlie Kirk did what?
I'm confused with Tucker Carlson. Are you including him on the MAGA bus? Because
Would you not? Okay.
No. I don't think he knows what bus he's on.
He got off.
He wakes up.
He got off on the last stop.
Yeah, he is all over the place.
Yeah.
I agree.
You're Charlie.
On some things. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're Charlie Kirk's.
Give me three letters. Give me three leaders of the MAGA movement that you would consider outside of the government right now.
You got Charlie Kirk, you got Dinesh D'Souza, and there's
Dinesh D'Souza, I think.
D'Souza, Dinesh. Yeah.
And then you got who? Steve Bannon.
Yeah, you got Steve Bannon, and there's others as well, but. But there's a handful. Like I said, some of them didn't comment. It was kind of split amongst the MAGA leaders. Some of them just didn't comment yet. They're still, holding out on an opinion on the Epstein. And then you did have some that did comment, and they seemed to follow Pam Bondi. Now, what I'm referring to was a week ago on his first comment. But now all of them have taken what Trump said yesterday we're revisiting this, and we're coming back. We're coming back for more. Like, they're just getting started. So I don't think they're letting it go.
Yeah.
Now, whether they get something that's satisfying or not from it is yet to be determined. I just know the way this was set up by Pam Bondi 3 months ago is if anything short of somebody going to prison, MAGA's not going to be happy.
Yeah.
So I think they've messed up by making this a bigger deal than they're willing to visit.
Yeah. All right, Steve. What do you think about all this?
I think that I agree with Mark Mitchell that it's not about the sex crimes and all that kind of stuff. It's about holding people accountable. They thought there was a list. They thought there were going to be a lot of big Democrat names on it, and they wanted people held accountable. There's been a two-tier system of justice in this country. We saw it with the lawfare. We're seeing it now with every time the Justice Department starts an investigation into a Democrat, they say, oh, lawfare, lawfare, like they weren't doing that for the last 5 years.
All right, I'm just going to make an observation here. Please don't ask me to defend it because I may not be able to. I'm just making a gut, visceral,
yeah,
in the moment, sharing of my heart.
Yes.
Ed, I'm going to share my heart.
Share your heart,
I'm going to share my heart, Ed.
You got to.
Yeah, you got
to. You can't keep it in.
No, I can't keep it in. Nobody experienced that more than President Trump.
Yes.
Talking about lawfare?
Lawfare and the two-tier.
Okay. Absolutely.
Now, it did come back finally to get Hunter Biden and some others, but I'm talking about President Trump doesn't care about this. Okay? He dismissed it last week as silliness, basically. And so, and Pam Bondi says there's nothing to release, right? So
depends on what day you ask her, but go ahead.
Well, that may be true, but she needs to come out and release everything that she has, if she has anything. But according to President Trump, it's not an important issue. Remember, there are people still talking about Jeffrey Epstein. He had, like, he was oblivious to this. And so that was kind of stunning. So I don't know. I don't know if there is anything to release or not.
Well, none of us do, okay? But the comments from people like, of course, Pam Bondi saying the Epstein list is on my desk. Maybe she misspoke.
She said file. I think
she... Well, she was asked about the list.
Oh, she said...
And she said
the file is on my desk.
No, I thought she said it's on my desk.
I have to look.
Yeah. Along with the JFK file. And so I'm saying, I may grant her that. Maybe she misspoke, okay? But we have Alan Dershowitz, who, whatever it was, a year or so ago, said, no, there's a list. I saw the list. I can't tell you who's on it because under a gag order, there's a list. And then, what was it, Alex Acosta or whatever, he said he was told by members of the intelligence community that it was a blackmail operation. All those kind of statements are out there, which makes people wonder if there's a cover-up. And so all I'm saying is, the Trump administration, whoever does it, needs to have a clear-the-air press conference where they say, Pam Bondi misspoke, there is no list, there are no videos of people engaging in these kinds of actions at the Epstein Island. They need to clear all that up.
It doesn't matter to Donald Trump until it affects his poll numbers. And when his poll numbers go down, the rest of his agenda is in danger.
Which, to your point here with the Rasmussen, yeah, guy, Mark Mitchell.
He's going to start paying attention.
He may have to start paying attention.
Do we have time for anything else?
Go.
No, I'm talking about.
No, we don't.
We don't.
We don't. Okay. No, especially since I had time to share my heart.
Well, listen, you don't cut yourself some slack.
Okay.
You keep that kind of stuff inside. It takes years off your
life. I know. How many Diet Cokes you have this show? Just one.
Just one.
Just one. It's good for you. Hey, showing some self-discipline.
That's right.
Huh? I believe in everything in moderation.
When you get a pizza.
No, that's the only thing in non-moderation.
The only thing, no, you don't believe in the moderation when it comes to youth baseball.
No, that's true. That's
or not hunting.
True. Comparatively speaking.
Or deer hunting for a 3 month.
Did you just see how I did that?
Yeah.
I relatively. Said comparatively. Yeah. There's always somebody that does more than you and always somebody
always
that does
somebody
less.
Who's worse.
Right. Yeah. I always get people who criticize you for your hobby.
Oh, no.
Yes. But their hobby
is okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's in the Bible.
I had one guy. He had no idea I could coach travel ball. Right. He had no idea how I did it, the way it was done. But all he knew was the impression of the worst possible scenario. And he presented it. And then I come to find out he went to do piano lessons twice a week.
Bye-bye.